Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harris. Sean Levine, Brandon Kiley taking you up until 6 o'clock. We'll get into the Royals coming up in about 15 minutes. But first, today's pop quiz was brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Big Daddy was the movie for today. BK, why is that?
Just felt like it was a good day for Big Daddy, honestly.
I can't really fault you on that. So, Sam Mellinger of the Kansas City Star put this out today in the paper. Quote, "The Chiefs have scenarios they believe would allow them to have Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones, and Tyreek Hill on contract extensions, even with this offseason's deals for Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu." Very interesting. A couple different ways to look at this. BK, you normally call this the Atlanta Falcons plan. Atlanta, for the most part, has been able to pay everybody that they want to pay. Now, their roster isn't that deep, but the Falcons have been in a position where when it came time to pay
the Vikings.
Yeah, like when it came time to pay Devontae Freeman, they could pay him. When it came time to pay Julio Jones, they could pay him. When it came time to pay Matt Ryan, they could pay him. So there is a scenario in which you can make the salary cap work for you in a lot of different ways. I will say, if the Chiefs have these scenarios that will allow you to keep Mahomes, keep Chris Jones, keep Tyreek Hill, and you keep Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu, you are probably not keeping Eric Fisher at his current deal. You are probably not keeping Sammy Watkins at his current deal. Like, you're going to have to make some concessions somewhere if you're going to have five players that are going to command the money that those five guys are going to have. And right now, you are getting the cap relief for Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu. That is only going to be this year, and then they take a significant jump in their cap hit.
Yeah, somebody's going to be the odd man out, but isn't the first one the most obvious? Sammy Watkins. He's overpaid. His contract runs up next year. You really think there's a chance that he could be on the Chiefs beyond this season?
Yeah, I think they could just restructure his contract, though. Like, I think part of what makes the Chiefs, not part of it, a big part of what makes their offense so dynamic is they just have such a depth of weapons that makes it very difficult for you to stop all of them. Think back to the AFC Championship game. The Patriots did a really good job of eliminating Tyreek Hill from the game. He had one catch in the game. Like, Tyreek Hill was not a big factor from a yards perspective, but the Patriots have to devote so much time and attention to Tyreek Hill that allows a healthy Sammy Watkins to have the kind of day that he had, allows Damian Williams to have the day that he kind of had. Like, all the pieces kind of fit together. So if you're going to take a piece like Sammy Watkins, who, when healthy, adds value to the team, man, that means Mecole Hardman better work out. That means DeMarcus Robinson better work out. That means you better be able to make up for it if you want to keep this offense playing at this elite historic
level. If they do pay everybody, I hope they find themselves in a better scenario than those two examples you and BK just threw out there. Not that the Vikings suck, but they're not a Super Bowl caliber team. Same thing with the Falcons. They're a good team. They've got a good offense. They're entertaining. But I don't think anybody thinks that they're one of the top five, six, seven teams in the NFL. So it's one thing to pay the guys. It's another thing to pay the guys and still be a Super Bowl caliber team. We all know the salary cap is fake. You're the one who tells me about this all the time, that if you want to make it work in the NFL, you can. We've got examples the past couple of years where the quarterback got paid the big money and they decided to not pay other guys. Aaron Rodgers, pretty much since he's been the quarterback of the Packers, they've been able to surround him with enough talent where year in, year out, they're a Super Bowl caliber team. That wasn't the case last year or even the year before, but especially last year because they had to pay Aaron Rodgers, then you can't keep the talent around him. I think we saw that a little bit last year also with Seattle. They paid Russell Wilson. They decided to trade away Frank Clark. I hear what you're saying. Technically, because it's a salary cap and it's the NFL, they can make it work. I just wonder when they pay Pat if they're going to be able to keep all that talent around him, like Sam points out.
You're right, but I think we never really factor in a couple of different things. Like, you bring up Atlanta. One difference is you think your quarterback is better than Atlanta's quarterback, which puts you in a better position to win a Super Bowl over the next couple of years. And you just have to draft well. Like Seattle, they don't draft well. They did during a time frame. That's how you get Russell Wilson. That's how you go get Richard Sherman. That's how you go get Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas. You drafted incredibly well.
That's how you end up where the Chiefs are right now, by drafting incredibly well. And obviously that was pretty much John Dorsey. But don't get it twisted. The reason the Chiefs are in such a good and advantageous situation is because they've got the two best contracts in the entire NFL with Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill.
Agreed. That's drafting the players.
Yeah.
So then do it again. Like, you got Tyreek Hill because of a void in the market, maybe the right way to put it. He was a first-round talent. You got him on a fifth-year contract deal. You were willing to take the risk. What you did with Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce wasn't a number one overall pick.
It was Chris Jones.
They scouted and developed him. They picked him up in the third round. They turned him into an all-pro receiver. That's just going to be more at a premium once they pay Patrick Mahomes. Mecole Hardman has to work. Tano Passanio has to work.
Yeah.
If you're going to pay one player $42 million, you better eat on those rookie contract deals. That's what they're doing right now. Mahomes still on his rookie deal. Kareem Hunt was still on his rookie deal. They have maximized rookie contracts. That shouldn't stop once you get Mahomes.
No.
This better be good.
We got to pass this along. There is an update on Adalberto Mondesi. The Royals have placed him on the 10-day IL with left shoulder subluxation.
Thank you, doctor.
I looked this up. It looks like Jesse Winker had this last year. He's an outfielder for the Reds.
Of course he is.
He said, quote, "It is terrible," whenever it happened. He also then learned that he needed season-ending surgery to repair the injury. It is basically a partial dislocation of the shoulder, according to what I'm reading. That happened in July of last year, and he ended up having season-ending shoulder surgery. So if we're looking at it through that lens, we obviously don't know the extent of this one compared to that one.
The Winker lens.
That one. It would appear that this could be a season ender for Adalberto Mondesi.
Yeah, I don't like comparing myself to professional athletes, but someone who is like severely dislocated their shoulder, he's not coming back in 2-3 weeks. Like, and not, I mean, maybe he can come back, but he's not playing anything close to full strength. Like, took me like 6 weeks to like really get the old strength that I had back in my left shoulder after I dislocated it. I don't think he's playing anymore this season either. Or if he does, he's coming back the last 2 weeks of the season. And then it's the question of, do you want to roll the dice the last 2 weeks of the season in a team that's not going anywhere?
Yeah, that's what sucks, is the only reason as fans we really had to watch this team or go out to the ballpark. Well, not the only reason. There's certainly a lot of other guys. I'm a Bubba Starling fan. I want to see what Brad Keller can do the second half of the season. But the biggest, I should say, draw was Adalberto Mondesi. And it looks like he's going to be out at least for a while right now.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll get back into the Kansas City Royals, and we'll talk a little bit more about Adalberto Mondesi's injury. Let's actually have Cody come on for a little bit. We'll call Cody up, and we'll have Cody come on in just a little bit.
I want to pick up on something you were talking about with the Chiefs in the draft. You're exactly right. Going forward, it's not going to be about free agency, landing Tyrann Mathieu, going out and trading for Frank Clark. It's not going to be about anything except for drafting well, because once you've already got these guys under contract, or Frank Clark's under contract for 3 years, they're paying Travis Kelce for the next couple of years. We'll see what happens with Tyreek Hill and some of these other contracts, but obviously the big one is Patrick Mahomes. They're going to back a Brinks truck up to his house. It's probably going to be a $200 million contract. You can't have drafts like Brett Veach had in year one where you net nothing, where the performance on the field is essentially doesn't exist. You have to have a draft like John Dorsey had year in, year out, where, as you pointed out, it's not just first-round picks. Yeah, he did well getting Eric Fisher, did well getting a guy like Marcus Peters, but the key is finding a guy like Travis Kelce in a lower round, or a guy like Kareem Hunt, or a guy like Chris Jones. That's what the Chiefs are going to have to do going forward if they want to continuously keep open the Super Bowl window.
Yeah, I mean, drafting and player development becomes at a premium if you're going to pay one player 14% of your salary.
And if you're going to pay four or five guys, I mean, you're talking about Tyreek Hill potentially could be one of the five highest paid wide receivers in football. Travis Kelce, at his next contract, should be the highest paid tight end. Chris Jones is looking to become the second highest paid defensive tackle in all of football. Tyrann Mathieu makes a ton of money. The Chiefs, obviously, thank you, Captain Obvious, way overpaid Sammy Watkins. It's not just the Patrick Mahomes deal. It's five or six deals the Chiefs are going to have to try to get around.
Yeah, and there's nothing. I mean, you can make it work. Like, teams make the salary cap work in that capacity all the time. Just, you are going to have to supplement them with players on the rookie deal. As your older players start to phase out of the rookie contract and you reward them for their success, you got to find the next Chris Jones. You got to find the next Travis Kelce. You got to find the next Tyreek Hill. And let's see if they can do that. Speaking of Chris Jones, we talked to a salary cap expert. I wanted to know about the Chiefs' stance. Because to me, the Chiefs are taking a very unusual stance when it comes to Chris Jones. If they're not going to negotiate in good faith, and they're only going to negotiate with him when he shows up, what does he think that means? This is what J.I. Hallsell, you can follow him on Twitter, at SalaryCap101. Here's what he had to say about it.
It definitely doesn't set a positive tenor to the conversations. You know, at the end of the day, you want to try to find a win-win solution, right? You want to be able to craft a deal that the team can hang their hat on some metric in the deal, and the player and agent can hang their hat on some metric in the deal. And in order to kind of come to that common ground, you have to have a certain tenor in the conversation that encourages that. And when you, as a club, kind of take that hardline stance, Well, then in turn, the agent and player say, well, if you're going to take a hard line stance, then we're going to take a hard line stance. It just doesn't create an environment towards getting a deal done.
Maybe I am buying into the Chiefs negotiation ploys, but the energy around Chris Jones is not a, hey, let's hurry and get a deal done. If you're saying is we're not going to negotiate with you until August 6th and when you show up and I don't expect Chris Jones to be there day one of training camp, to me that's just not negotiating in good faith with the player that ultimately the Chiefs say they want to keep.
If anything, there's as much energy and conversation about extending Tyreek Hill at this point than there is with Chris Jones.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. But next, we learned that Ned Yost loves space almost as much as he loves baseball. We'll explain coming up as The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we will go inside the mind of the machine. We'll also go inside the mind of Ned Yost, and we're learning that's a very dark and deep place as well. But let's head to the Drive hotline right now to catch up with Cody Tapp for the breaking news of the day that Royals shortstop Adalberto Mondesi is going to miss some time on the disabled list. Cody, how are you doing?
Not too bad, guys. How are you?
Cody, in your deep medical opinion, tell us what's happening with Adalberto Mondesi.
Look, I mean, it's kind of as they thought. They don't call it a dislocation because that means the shoulder completely came out. The sublocation means that it partially came out of the socket, and that can mean a lot of things. Still for Casey. Obviously, he's going to go on the 10-day injured list, but that injury has a wide swath of options from there. Cody Bellinger had this injury earlier this season. He played like the next day. So, but he's also not a switch hitter like Mondesi is, and that kind of shortstop, which is a demanding position. And so I think what it means right now would be my guess, and we'll talk to Ned here in about an hour or so, is that it's kind of going to end up as wait and see. Like, they're going to take these 10 days and evaluate where he is. Sometimes these things can lead to surgery, but they don't always in that case. So until we get more information, it's mostly wait and see. But I feel like at the moment this feels like okay news for KC, because if it was a full dislocation, you would definitely feel worse about it.
Right now we're talking to Cody Tapp. The breaking news of the day, Adalberto Mondesi has been placed on the 10-day IRDL, whatever they're calling it these days. So today, Nicky Lopez is playing shortstop. Whit Merrifield is playing second base. Do you think that Nicky Lopez will be playing shortstop going forward with Mondesi out for the 10 days?
No, they call up Arteaga. You know, they just don't like having just one shortstop on the roster. So my guess is that they'll go back to what they did when Mondesi missed a little time earlier. Arteaga will be at short. Lopez will be at second. They'll put Whit back out, and Ryder just moving around depending on how everything shakes out. But no, I guess Nicky will probably stick at second with Arteaga taking the bulk of it until Mondesi is hopefully back at some point. But again, we're still kind of waiting that out.
Cody, we talk all the time on the show about Sammy Watkins and how often injured he is. At what point do you look at Adalberto Mondesi and say the same thing?
I mean, longer than this, probably. I mean, it's fair. But, like, that play last night, you know, anytime I feel like somebody gets off injured, you know, like if they just have hamstrings that keep coming up or tear stuff, or it's like he's diving for a ball in foul territory. It wasn't exactly, the type of injury he'd had in the past where just like a groin or a hamstring, those ones you could expect to come back over and over. Dislocated shoulders don't happen in baseball very often. So I don't know that I tack this one on right away. You know, it gets to a point where you want him to see a full season, especially to develop, but you know, I think everybody knows that shortstop, there's a chance you're going to miss some games, but I'd be a little hesitant to push the he's too injury-prone to be there every day this early on.
How much improvement has he made throughout this season? You have always been really high on him, so has the Royals organization, but how much improvement has he made during this year?
You know, not as much as I wanted. In the early part, it looked like he'd really taken that jump. And listen, the numbers are still pretty good. So, I mean, I definitely think he's moved in the right direction. I just kind of thought he would find a way to be more stable throughout the season, you know, as far as just a consistent performer and would avoid some of those like longer slumps or some of those inconsistencies at the plate. And so maybe not quite as far as I was expecting him to go, but still moving in what I would consider a pretty good direction for him. I just worry this is a setback. Like if he has to miss a long time, which we don't know yet, it's just a 10-day IL for now, but, you know, if he has to miss any kind of long-term, man, that's a tough time to have this injury, right? Kind of a key pivotal development time for him.
And that is our guy, Cody Tapp. He is our Royals insider calling us live from Kauffman Stadium. Cody, always good talking to you, my man.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Always good catching up with Cody.
Mondesi right now is at 7 home runs, 52 RBI, hitting .266.
Cody joining us with the breaking news. No, you're good. With the breaking news. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will go inside the mind of the machine. But I want to play this for you really quickly. Ned Yost. So yesterday was the, 50th anniversary of America landing on the moon? Ned had thoughts.
A 1202 program alarm, Cody, was when they came apart, the LEM and the command module, and they started their burn to land on the moon. Well, Buzz Aldrin, who was the LEM pilot, thought it was very beneficial to keep the rendezvous radar on and the landing radar on. But at that time, the computers in Apollo 11, you have more computing power probably by 20 in your cell phone. And it overloaded the computer and it gave a 1202 program alarm, right? And everybody panicked. What is it? What's a 1202? Is it going to be a fatal alarm? Are they going to have to abort? And somebody in the back room all of a sudden remembered what a 1202 was and they said, we'll go on that as long as it doesn't continue to pop up. And they hit, you know, the button to take it off. They had one more 1202 alarm and a 1201 alarm, which was all the same before they finally landed. But it was all revolving around the radar landing and the rendezvous landing. Now, what else do you want to know about it?
Just about your experience watching it.
What do you mean watching it? I loved it. I remember sitting upstairs in my mom's bedroom and watching those grainy, snowy pictures. I've been very interested in space exploration for as long as I can remember.
So that was Ned Yost yesterday. Do you guys have a friend or know someone who maybe watched one or two YouTube videos?
What do you mean watch them? I love them.
And then they have become an expert on that? That's kind of what Ned Yost sounded like. Like Ned Yost last night before he went to bed, he watched 1-hour-long special on the History Channel and now knows everything there is to know about the moon landing.
I don't think that. I think he took some astronomy classes back in the day. Ned is the most interesting man in the world.
You think that Ned remembers the college courses that he took 40 years ago at Georgia Tech? You think he was recalling that to memory?
Is he not the most interesting man in the world, though? This guy is a baseball manager.
No, not really.
He's into hunting, and he knows everything about space. I mean, those things.
Say he knows everything about space. He remembers knows a lot about space. One of the biggest news stories of his generation.
Was he Neil deGrasse Tyson all of a sudden?
Is.
That's who Ned Yost is all of a sudden. From that 1-minute-and-30-second answer, you
I took astronomy 3 times in college, twice in community college, once at KU, failed all 3 times. I learned more from Ned Yost in 90 seconds about space and the moon than I did in 3 years of taking astronomy.
You're always, like, amused by people that have, like, outside interests. Like, Carrington, you like to smoke cigars. That's an inner. There's other things we like to do aside. Yes, I'm sure that Ned Yost, outside of baseball, has other interests in life. So anytime he shows you the interest, you're like, he likes to hunt in his free time?
It's just usually people that like hunting, and I'm not trying to stereotype anything here, aren't the biggest fans of space and baseball managers. That's all I'm saying.
Go ahead and stereotype.
I actually don't agree with that.
I don't mean to stereotype.
I feel like a baseball manager is the exact person that would be interested in hunting and space exploration.
Got a lot of free time. I do have this question.
I am surprised you smoke cigars and wear jean shorts while we're at it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're cool.
All right.
Is there anything in our generation like this? I don't feel like we have these things. Maybe it's because we just grew up in a different time and with cable television and 24-hour news cycles. There aren't many, like, moon landing type events if you're under the age of 40.
Yes, there have not been very many moon landings in my lifetime. That is true.
I'm saying something that we all remember watching that wasn't centered around someone dying. All of our memories are someone died. What's the memory that we have of, like, a really historical event that happened that everyone lived at the end of it? Like
when Mario Chalmers knocked down the shot, right? Is that what we're talking about? That type
no,
of thing?
I would not put that in the same category as the moon landing.
Boy, don't Cody and Ned have an interesting relationship. Just the last week, he shot down all of his questions, and he asked him a question about space, and he took off for 2 minutes.
I just want to point out that I asked you a question you would ask me on Mind of the Machine, and you had no interest in answering the question. I just want to point out, because if you had asked me that Mind of the Machine, I would have had to answer your question.
Damn right
you
would.
I just want to point out how unfair this relationship is at times. Speaking of Mind of the Machine, we'll go inside it, and we'll ask questions very similar to the one I just asked as the driver.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on the drive coming up in just a bit. We will get into the 25 most intriguing Chiefs for the 2019 season. We are finally in the top 10. We'll tell you who number 9 is coming up in just a bit. But first, let's go inside the mind of the machine.
Welcome back in, C-Dot. Always good to see you, BK. Fantasy football drafts are coming up soon. Would you rather? You first, C-Dot. Cam Newton or Baker Mayfield? Fantasy football.
That's a good question.
4 or 6 point per passing touchdown league.
Yeah, that matters too, just because Cam gets rushing yards, so that changes it. I think Baker's going to finish in the top 5 in MVP, so I take Baker.
4 point per passing touchdown league, I will take Cam Newton. 6 point per passing touchdown league, I will take Baker Mayfield.
All right, so you don't ask again. We'll go with the 6 pointer. Deshaun Watson.
That
or
matters.
Matt Ryan.
I mean, that's because
you get 6 points for a rushing touchdown, yeah. So the rushing touchdowns become more valuable than passing.
All right, for the sake of this question, we'll stick with 6 points. Deshaun Watson or Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan had a really, really good season last year. I'll take Matt Ryan for fantasy purposes.
Take Deshaun Watson. I think he's got a shot to be the number one fantasy quarterback this year.
My guy, Christian McCaffrey or Alvin Kamara?
I think Kamara is probably a little bit better, but you can't really lose with either one of them as long as both of them stay healthy.
I'd probably take McCaffrey in a PPR. I'd take Kamara in a non.
Last one, guys. Who has a bigger fantasy season, Antonio Brown or Juju Smith-Schuster?
Juju for me. I think he's just going to get a ton of targets. I think Juju has a really good year.
I got a feeling like AB is going to get a bunch of targets too.
Yeah, but his quarterback is not quite on the same level as Big Ben.
Yeah, I think they're actually going to be pretty comparable. I'd probably take Juju, not changing systems. I think he's in a better offensive system. I think at the end of the year, though, their numbers are pretty comparable.
Who wins more football games this season, Mizzou or KU and K-State combined? Who wins more football games this season, MU or KU and K-State combined?
KU and K-State combined. I think the K-State could get to 7 and KU could get to 4.
Overs on both. K-State's is 5.5. KU's is at 3.
I'd be a little bit surprised if K-State didn't make a bowl game this year. I mean, I think they could have last year. I just think they were pulling in so many different directions last year that it was kind of obvious that was the last season for Bill Snyder. I think just being more unified this year at least gets you one more win than a season ago.
I'm going to go KU plus K-State, but I think it's really close. I think KU has to win 4 for them to get the over.
I'm with BK on that.
The Hoff, David Hasselhoff, turned 66 today. Were either one of you guys a big Baywatch guy?
No.
No.
When's the last time you saw Pamela Anderson or heard about her or anything? She fell off the face of planet Earth.
It's just over. She had a good run and it's over.
She had a nice run. Speaking of birthdays, Vin Diesel is turning 52 today. Which is the better Vin Diesel series, Guardians of the Galaxy or Fast and Furious?
I've actually never seen any of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
You'd like them.
I always, maybe I'm the only person that has this. Do you have the movie that you've said you're going to watch or like rented at the Redbox, but yet you never watch that movie?
Mine's the new Spider-Man Spider-Verse movie. I've had that in my queue on Netflix for like 3 months, and I just haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I would say that Real Steel movie. Remember that movie with Hugh Jackman about those fighting robots? I tried to watch that movie like 5 times and never, ever like started the movie.
You didn't miss much. That movie kind of sucked.
I don't know if it's a good or a bad movie. I tried to watch Guardians of the Galaxy, the first movie, like 6 times, and something always comes up.
Can you separate the Fast and Furious is in your head? Like, do you have a favorite, or they're all just kind of blended together?
Whichever one where I think they're in Brazil and the safe is like attached to the back of the car and they're like driving around, I like that one a lot.
I think Too Fast, Too Furious is the best.
Who's had the better acting career, Vin Diesel or Keanu Reeves?
That was my first double date, Too Fast, Too Furious.
Really?
At Lee Summit East Club.
Nice.
I love the soundtrack to that too. Ask the question.
Vin Diesel or Keanu Reeves, better acting career?
Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves has been in more movies that are good. I have a feeling Vin Diesel's probably made more money, though, so I guess it depends what you value.
Keanu Reeves is just attached to more franchises, where, like, Vin Diesel, like, he is the Fast and the Furious.
That's all he does is franchises, Vin Diesel.
Yeah, at this point. I mean, early in the career, he tried to do some other stuff. Remember, he did the Chronicles of Riddick, and he tried to do some other stuff, but it never cost. He's like, I'm just going to keep making $20 million a year to keep being Fast and the Furious. Where, I mean, Keanu Reeves has been a part of like multiple very successful series. John Wick, The Matrix. I mean, he's just
Speed.
Been a part of some really good. Yeah, he's been a part of some really good franchises.
Vin Diesel or The Rock?
The Rock. Not close.
The Rock. Yeah, I mean, I think you could make an argument that The Rock is the biggest actor in Hollywood right now.
Really?
I think so.
He's by far the most successful athlete turned actor, but I don't know if he's the most successful actor in Hollywood right now, or the best. What'd you call him?
I think he's the biggest right now.
Really?
I think he's the biggest. And I mean, he just does so many movies. Like, I mean, DiCaprio is a much better actor than him. He does one movie every 3 years, it feels like. Like, The Rock, like, who produces more movies and who is a bigger movie star? Right, like currently active in Hollywood, I think it might be The Rock.
The Atlantic League is using robot umpires to help determine balls and strikes. Guys, is this the future of Major League Baseball? Because if you think about it, what do the umpires at the bases really do? They call outs, they call safe. If the manager thinks that you made the wrong call, they replay it, then they get it right. You don't really need those guys in the bags anymore. Do you think robot umpires are the future of baseball?
No, not at all. We think that they're just going to now eliminate all these jobs in favor of computers in Major League Baseball.
I just told you, the umpires at the bags do nothing. Even behind the plate, we're all sitting at home on our 60-inch flat-screen TVs, and we can tell what is a ball and a strike.
Yeah, I don't think they're getting rid of the umpires. I don't think they're even close to getting rid of them.
I think eventually, yes. I don't think that time is coming anytime soon, but I think eventually, yes.
Deadspin did an article titled Barry Sanders, who, by the way, turned 51 yesterday.
I saw that.
Was the coolest player who ever lived. First off, do you agree with that?
What are we defining as coolest?
I guess the best highlight package of any player that's ever lived.
Yeah, that's accurate.
If we're talking football, I think it's between him and Lawrence Taylor.
Is Pat the best highlight player in sports today?
I would say no, just because we don't have enough highlights yet. We're LeBron and Steph. We just have decades of we have a decade of highlights. Where Mahomes highlight films like 7 plays, which is an incredible highlight play. There's not much more highlights outside of the 7.
I would say for the year 2018, though, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Like last year, I think if we're talking all of sports last year, who had the best and most highlights in terms of the highlight packages, I would say Mahomes was number one, yeah.
I don't think
Zion's pretty high on that list. Yeah, Zion did some pretty incredible stuff last year.
And I was just about to say, and Zion makes me kind of rethink, for a player that's only had 1 year to do it, I think that Pat has the best highlight package of anybody, any sport, any time ever. Zion's obviously pretty close.
I mean, LeBron's rookie year is really good.
Touche. Today is World Emoji Day. C-Dot, as an emoji user, which do you use the most? Would that be the eggplant or the screwdriver, perhaps?
Probably the sun emoji.
The sun emoji, huh? PK, you an emoji guy?
Probably the crying, laughing emoji.
I'm a big good morning sun emoji guy.
What else we got for you?
Really? Yeah.
Just a random people, good morning? That's nice of you. I never got one of those.
I'm guessing that's to girls.
And you don't like emojis. Why would I send
you? I don't like emojis.
And why would I tell you? I'm not really that interested in telling you good morning. Yeah, good morning. A good morning sun emoji, have a great day sun emoji, goes a very long way.
Andy Reid, according to NFL.com, was voted the 4th best coach in 2019. He was behind Bill Belichick, obviously, Pete Carroll, and Sean Payton. All those guys have won a Super Bowl. Do you have any problem with Andy Reid being 4th on this list?
I think that Andy Reid's a better coach than Sean Payton. You can make a pretty strong argument with Carroll, and Belichick he's on another level.
I think it's definitive. Andy Reid is the 2nd best coach in the NFL. I would not take Pete Carroll or anybody else over Andy Reid right now outside of Bill Belichick. He's the only coach that I would want over Bill Belichick because I think Andy's the best offensive mind in the league. And we've seen over the last few off seasons, if you can have any one characteristic for your head coach, you want him to be a great offensive mind. I mean, the guy that just got fired by Texas Tech got an NFL job because he's a really good offensive mind. So I would take Andy over anybody not named Bill Belichick.
I think Kingsbury got the job because he was Patrick Mahomes' quarterback, or he was his head coach in college.
Plus Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly.
That's why I think he got the job.
I think he got it because he's a really good offensive mind. I legitimately believe that.
I think he's a good offensive mind
BK
as well.
BK thinks he's Bill Walsh.
No, I don't think that. I think it's mostly because of Patrick Mahomes.
Every year he had good offenses. Every year at Texas Tech. His problem was the defense.
Every year everybody has good offenses. I mean,
look up the numbers
Mike
that Texas
Leach
Tech
has had
putting.
Great offenses. He ain't get no NFL head coach.
That's because of some other issues. He could barely get a college job after Texas Tech.
Bryce Harper had 5 RBI yesterday and a walk-off double. This one's for BK.
BK, here we go. Here
I know this is for BK.
Here we go.
You know my thoughts on Bryce Harper.
We do?
I want to know.
What are they? I don't know what they are.
Yeah, you know. I think he's the most overrated player in all of sports, but I want to know your guys' opinion. Is he a top 10 big league player? Let me remind you, not an all-star. He's hitting .257. BK's going to say average doesn't matter, so I'll say it before he says it. 17 home runs and 67 RBI, and the Nats are somehow a better baseball team without him. You're up.
You want me to list the top 10 players in baseball right now?
No, just do you think he's off top of your head? Is he a top 10 player?
Probably not. He's probably like 10 to 15, somewhere around there.
Okay.
He's really good, and he's worth a lot of money because he hit the open market. He's not Mike Trout. He's not Cody Bellinger. He's not Max Scherzer, but he's a really, really good baseball player.
I agree with whatever BK says about baseball.
Before Before you get out of the mind of the machine, yesterday on ESPN, Dan Graziano.
Whatever BK says about baseball, that's what I. That's basically my take. Yep. All my baseball takes are really BK's thoughts. I
just like copy and paste.
That's it, basically. All of them.
I wish they were making that up, but they're not. Dan Graziano of ESPN busted out his crystal ball yesterday talking about his predictions for the next 3 years in the NFL. If I asked you guys, in the next 3 years, how many Super Bowls will the Chiefs appear in, what would you set the over-under at?
I'll go one. I think they go to the Super Bowl this year or next year. I feel pretty confident.
I would set the over-under at 1.5.
That's lofty, bro. 2 Super Bowls in 3 years?
Going to 2, yeah. I mean, you've got the best young quarterback in football. You've got, in my opinion, the second best coach in football. You have a really good young roster. The oldest defensive starter that you have right now is Tyrann Mathieu. You should be able to build that side of the ball. Whether they keep Chris Jones or trade him, you should be able to get assets for him if you want to go that route. I think they're in a really good spot.
And just like that, you're outside the mind of the machine.
I do look at it as when are the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl and not if they're going to the Super Bowl. Like, I don't know the win. The win could be this year.
I think
the
entire fan
year.
Base looks at it that way now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I was trying to dispute it, but you're right. Yeah. You're right. Sometimes you make a point. I can't really rebut it. It's just you make a very strong point. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we have a meanwhile in the news, a very special meanwhile in the news. But first, we are doing a countdown for the 25 most intriguing Chiefs players. We'll tell you who number 9 is coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Every day at 3:45, from between now and when the Chiefs head to St. Joe, we are profiling a different member of the team. We call it the 25 most intriguing Kansas City Chiefs. Today, we get to number 9. BK, hit it.
Training camp is around the corner. The season is almost here. And on The Drive, we're ranking the Chiefs' 25 most important players in 25 days.
Setting up the Chiefs just a yard away. Sends Watkins in motion. Mahomes rolling out. Throws it.
Damian Williams is number 9 on our list of the 25 most intriguing Chiefs coming into the season. I'm not going to lie to you. I never had any questions about Damian Williams until I started talking to Sean Levine, and then my doubts for Damian Williams existed. So I'll let you go first, my friend.
He's never been a feature back. That's my problem. In the NFL, he's always been used sparingly. As a matter of fact, his career high in carries before last year was 46 with the Miami Dolphins a couple of seasons ago. I'm not suggesting that he can't be a frontline running back, that he can't be the feature back, that he can't be a workhorse for this team. Now, obviously, if you're expecting him to be Priest Holmes or Larry Johnson or Jamal Charles or Kareem Hunt, you're going to be sorely disappointed. But he did average 5 yards a carry last season. And you notice the highlight that BK played there, C-Dot. It wasn't a rushing touchdown. It was a receiving touchdown. That's where this guy really excels. As good as Kareem Hunt was out of the backfield, you could argue Damian Williams will be even better. In limited time last year, the Chiefs felt like he was worth a contract extension. They paid him. He's going to be the feature back for this team next year, like it or not.
My confidence level in Damian Williams is solely based in my confidence in Andy Reid and the system. Damian Williams could be interchanged for a lot of different players in the NFL, and I don't say that to diminish his ability. I think that he was handpicked because he was somebody that could run the system and scheme for the Kansas City Chiefs. And now they're using him in a way in which he can be successful. And you're right. He's been a big help to them in the passing game. I mean, he has 2 games which he's had more than 60 yards receiving in just the 6 games that he played last year when he really got an opportunity. He had as many 100-yard rushing games last year as Kareem Hunt did in this offense. My confidence level in Damian Williams is really high this season. I think at the end of the season, I know we're talking about real football and not fantasy, I think that Damian Williams will be one of the 10 best fantasy running backs in the NFL this season.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I also wouldn't be surprised, BK, if out the gates, the running game struggles a little bit compared to what we've gotten used to. Remember, they had the rushing champion last year to start the season in Kareem Hunt. Damian Williams averages 5 yards a carry, and at least last year he did for the Kansas City Chiefs. So
that's not a real number.
Very limited time, very small sample size. So again, yeah, I'm going to take that with a grain of salt. I think there's going to be a little bit of a drop off early on, but I think that Damian Williams can catch up to speed pretty quick.
I think so. I just don't know how much it ultimately matters. I just look at this, and every time that Andy Reid's been with a new running back, he's found a way to make it work. I don't think Spencer Ware was as talented as at the time we made him out to be. He was a guy that was given up on by other teams. He was a late-round draft pick, and he ended up having a ton of success here in Kansas City. He was one of the 10 most valuable, 10 most productive running backs in the league when he was the starter. When Charcandrick West had to start for an extended period of time, he was perfectly fine. Was he explosive? No, but the running game in terms of the overall numbers were very similar to what you saw with Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt's a better running back than any of the names that I just mentioned. But that doesn't matter as much as we like to make it out to be in this particular system. And all that matters for the Chiefs is what they do in this system, because that's the one that's here right now.
And to your point, BK, when Jamal was the running back, or when Charkhandrick was the running back, or when Spencer Ware was running back, that's really all this team had. They didn't have Patrick Mahomes. They didn't have as many weapons at the skill position on the offense that they have right now. So it was a little bit easier just to say we're going to turn around the ball and hand it off to Jamal Charles and they'll be successful. And he's gotten really creative the last couple of years, especially using his running back out the backfield, which is what Damian Williams excels at.
I don't know if they can start slower than Kareem Hunt did last year. 52 carries for 168 yards the first three games of the season for 3.2 yards per carry. I think the Chiefs are fine.
He should be able to do that.
I think they're fine. Like, I'll keep saying it for Kareem Hunt. After those first five games of the season, I think that we've overvalued Kareem Hunt just a little bit.
Do you think he slowed down good, or do you think the league caught up to him, though?
I think he just got off to an incredible hot start that just wasn't real. That's kind of like if that's kind of like whenever in Major League Baseball, whenever a guy hits three home runs the first week of the season, they're like, well, if he stays on pace to do this, well, your pace is so ridiculous. There's no way that you can keep it up.
So here's what he did, just to put what you're saying into context, C-Dot. He played 22 games after the first five games in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform. So his last 22 games in Kansas City, he averaged 16 carries per game for 70 yards. That's 4.3 yards per carry, which is very average among NFL running backs. And he had 11 touchdowns over the course of those 22 games. You can absolutely get that type of production out of whether it be Damian Williams or Darrell Williams or Darwin Thompson or Carlos Hyde. Whoever you want to be the Chiefs feature back, they can replicate those types of numbers.
That's all I've been saying with Kareem Hunt, that he got off to such, like, first impressions are so lasting. And you're right, he led the NFL in rushing. You look at the numbers a little bit more, the first half of the season last year, the first five games, he got off to an historic start, not just rookie, for any running back in the NFL. And then after that, he was just a capable running back in the NFL. That's what they have now, capable running back.
I'm mostly with you guys. I think that it was Pat and Andy and having a good enough offensive line and having all the skill position players on offense, which is why Kareem Hunt succeeded. I don't think it was that Kareem Hunt was this world beater, but I bet you he's really good this year in Cleveland once he gets to play. I think you're selling him a little bit short. I think that Kareem Hunt is a top 10, 12 running back in the NFL.
Yeah, but I mean, top 12 running back, like, I think Damian Williams can this year be really a top 12 running back. I do. I genuinely believe by the end of the season, Damian Williams will be a top 10 fantasy running back. So I think he's going to put up very similar numbers. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get into a meanwhile in the news. Brandon Kiley, you have created some over-unders for Damian Williams. Let's go through them. Oh, that music lets you know that the NFL is right around the corner.
All right, so I put these together based on the projections that I saw from Fantasy Pros, ESPN, and CBS Sports. All of them have their projections out for fantasy football and what each individual player is going to do in 2019. So that's where I compiled these from. They didn't come from just thin air. The over-under for Damian Williams in terms of rushing yards this year. Most of these projections had him somewhere between 135 and 180 carries. So the over-under for rushing yards for the year, I will set it at 800. 800 over-under for Damian Williams rushing yards. What you taking?
That's 50 yards a game. He's going to be the feature back. I'm not good at math, but I can tell you that's 50 yards a game. Yeah, he's going to go over that number. I think he's going to go over 1,000.
22 running backs in the NFL had more than 800 yards rushing last year. I will take the over. Very confidently take the over for Damian Williams. I mean, Kareem Hunt had over 800 yards, and he played in 11 games last year for the team, or 10 games last year for the team. Yes, I'll take the over. Peyton Barber had 800 yards rushing last year. I'll take the over.
Over under for receiving yards, I'm going to set it at 350 receiving yards for Damian Williams next year. For some context, last year in 11 games, Kareem Hunt had 378. His rookie year, he had 455.
Because of that, I'm going to go over. Now, Kareem Hunt's a really good receiving running back. Damian Williams is every bit as good at the backfield, if not better. And Andy Reid loves to use his running backs in those short screens, bubble screens. He uses them a lot, kind of as a extended handoff that ends up being a screen pass. So I'm going to go overs again, receiving yards, Damian Williams. He goes over 350. It's probably closer to 450 or 5.
Yeah, 5's pretty big. I'll set it in the middle between 375 and 425, somewhere in that range, this upcoming season for Damian Williams. I do think he's going to be a part of it, but I've also said that I don't know if the ceiling for Mahomes is going to be as big from a numbers standpoint. So the numbers got to come from somewhere. I'll put Damian Williams at the 375 to 425, somewhere in that range.
And you talk about Carlos Hyde a lot, like they're going to not split carries, but that he's going to get some carries. I don't think so. I think Damian Williams is going to be the feature back, and he's going to get the large bulk of the carries this season.
I want to look to see how many running backs in the NFL had 500 yards receiving or more. I'm just going to assume the number's just not very high.
No, but not too many running backs get a chance to play with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. That's the difference. Andy loves using that running back as an extra wide receiver.
Last thing for you guys. It was really interesting to me. All three of the projections I used from Fantasy Pros, ESPN, and CBS Sports all had Damian Williams this year with 8 rushing touchdowns and 4 receiving touchdowns. So I set the over-under at 12 total touchdowns for Damian Williams in 2019. What are you taking, Sean? Over or under?
Didn't he end up with more than that last year?
Yeah, 13, yeah.
13 in limited time. You're going to sit at 12 for the entire season. I'm going over.
Yeah, I'll take the over, too.
Sean, did you take the over on all three then?
I sure did.
So then why are you concerned?
Just your numbers. Your numbers weren't high enough. That's why.
These numbers would have him at 1,150 total yards from scrimmage and 12 touchdowns. That would have been a top 5 fantasy back there, or top 12 fantasy back last year.
You're talking about like I'm panicking. My concern is just because they've had Kareem Hunt the last year and a half, and they've only had Damian Williams for a short period of time. I just want to see a bigger sample size. I'm mildly concerned. I'm not panicking or anything like that.
I think that's probably about right. I'll set Damian Williams 11 to 13 touchdowns for the season. Seems about right for this. Like, that's a really good fantasy projection last year that you scored 13 touchdowns as a running back and you get 1,300 yards from scrimmage. That's a top 10 fantasy running back for this upcoming season. What do you say, BK? I didn't hear you.
I got him. Don't forget, every day this week at 3:45, we're giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see FC Bayern take on AC Milan at Children's Mercy Park for the International Champions Cup rivalry. These are the two titans of the German and Italian leagues, respectively. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com or stay tuned all week to The Drive. That's this show for your chance to win every day at 3:45. But right now, be caller number 6, and you, yes, you, we'll go see the Champions Cup rivalry. Dial me up right now at 913-576-7610.
I'm really curious to see how many running backs had more than 500 yards receiving last year. I'm trying to find the number.
I bet my guy Christian McCaffrey did.
Yeah, no, Christian McCaffrey might be the best pass-catching running back in all of the NFL. Coming up in 2 minutes, don't turn that dial. Face App has taken over the world and probably your social media timeline. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.